This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
We're going to start with a nice bottom parashas Tetzaveh. The name of the Melech says on the Pusik, Vata Tetzaveh is B'nai Yisroel. The Torah is teaching us that if somebody wants to give Mr. Techucha, wants to be Mo'ira somebody, so the right way to do it is to make sure that the person giving the Mr. is somebody who already worked on himself, and he's a Kudesh and a Tur, he's somebody who has the right to be Mo'ira another person. Because if the person is not on the right madraiga, what's going to happen is he's going to think highly of himself. Look who I am. I'm helping someone else do a mitzvah. I'm putting him on the right track. I must be an amazing person. And automatically, that's also going to roll over into the other person who's going to now be doing the right thing, but he's going to be thinking highly of himself. Being that the person giving the mitzvah is a balgave, is going to go over to the person that's hearing it. And he says that only a real tzaddik could be machiach, other people, correctly, and not have the nesoyin of being arrogant because of it, and automatically it's going to have the proper effect. And he says, "Va'atat tzav is b'nai Yisrael," because Moshe Rabbeinu was the one that was being mechiyach Klal Yisrael. That's why Yikche Lechu Shem and Zayazach. That's why Klal Yisrael was able to be in this oyer properly and do the mitzvahs b'shleimus the way it was supposed to be Shem and Zayazach without pnius, without gava. Okay, so this is, you know, in its own right, a wonderful limit to just be careful, you know, before we're telling other people what to do and how to do things. But I think it's just the general idea of understanding that so much of what you tell someone is going to be taken in the way that it was given. So much of how someone else accepts a message, whether it's a misser or anything that you're trying to get another person to understand or do differently, so much of it depends on you. And as much as we like to blame other people for not not being Mekabala Emes Misha Omre, for example, a lot of, very often, it really has so much to do with the person saying it and how it's being said, as we talk about this often. Let me just read a question somebody sent in. Hi, I'm really enjoying listening to your weekly classes on Torah Anytime. I was wondering the following. There's so much talk and emphasis on the wife looking nice and pleasant and dressing up for her husband, which I fully understand and I try to do to the best of my ability. I was wondering, why is there no emphasis on the husband looking put together for his wife? We don't want the wives to get turned off either. I'm not sure if my question makes so much sense, but it's been sitting on my mind for a while, so I figured I'll ask, and I hope you can give some clarity and some of your thoughts on the topic. Also, I know that Rabbi Grun speaks a lot about the idea of mine, yours, and ours. So what is the right balance, let's say, regarding the husband looking good, whether it's regarding his weight, clean clothing, polished shoes? It is technically his, however, I'm seeing it all day, so is it fine that it can bother me sometimes? Thanks in advance. Okay, yeah, wonderful question. This is a topic that I did speak about in the past, but by now already with over 600 classes, Kanai Nahara, you know, we're always going to be repeating certain topics, but it's fine, no need to resist asking anything. I try to cover every topic that anyone sends in. So definitely a good question. So just to start off with one point over here, that there's so much talk and emphasis on the wife looking good and less on the husband. Yeah, it's true. There is more emphasis put on that. Chazal, the Gemara in Ksibis, says, Ein Isha Elu L'Yoyfi. Right? So, aside from whatever Drish Veremez will understand in the words of Chazal, there's definitely something about Isha Elu L'Yoyfi. Right? Somebody wants to have a wife that looks good. And that's why Usul Udam Shikadash Isha Ar Shiyarani, you have to make sure you see the person that you're going to marry to make sure that shouldn't be Shem Tezgana Ba'ainav. So we definitely find Chazal putting more emphasis on that. It's not the emphasis of the Kabbalah teachers and the self-help books or the Shirim that you're listening to. This is Chazal saying that a woman should make sure to look good for her husband. It happens to be that, unfortunately, it's I wouldn't say more often an issue that women don't look good and men do, but the fact that it bothers people and causes problems is very often, you know, that the way it is, that a woman isn't finding favor in the eyes of her husband or dressing or looking attractive, and it causes a problem. And being that this is both something that Chazal put emphasis on and it causes often problems, that is why there's a lot of emphasis on it. So I'll just use this opportunity to just re-emphasize again, even though it's not even our topic today. And just the other day I was walking the street and somebody came over to me and commented on the shiur that I spoke about this topic, about women looking good for the husbands. And he mentioned the Gemara and Tanis, we find with Amiruim, the great Amiruim, big tzaddikim, we find that their wives were making sure to dress well, that they shouldn't be nois in einer ba'acher, which is something I also mentioned in the shiur in the past. It's sad when a husband will ask a wife something in this area, or mention something, and it's just going to be dodged with a leave me alone attitude, or mind your own business, or specifically resisting, making sure it looks good. It's definitely a big issue. As a matter of fact, I think it's more often the attitude behind it than the actual looks. I think that if somebody would want his wife to look good or dress nicely, and she'd be trying and understanding him, I know sometimes it gets frustrating to please a man who's hard to please, but if he would only feel that she cared or understood or was trying her best, then the fact that she might not look the best, I don't think would bother him so much. I think a lot of times when it does become an issue, it's because people are getting the attitude of disregard or I don't care, or intentionally resisting, dressing or doing things in a way that would please a husband. But again, it's a discussion of its own. I spoke about it quite a few times, and maybe we'll address it again in the future. Back to the husbands. The question was, shouldn't the husband look good as well? His wife is seeing him all day. If he's going to look disheveled or not put together or anything else that's unappealing, obviously it could bother her. And yeah, it's 100% true. It's 100% true. I've heard this in the past from people. I'm saying I've addressed this in the past, not a question. Let's just start with the basics. Nobody should look disheveled, right? Just a certain self-dignity and kvadabrius, the way a yid is supposed to look. I mean, the kaddish and shemayim, obviously there's a way that's made a chachumim dress. We find Chazal mentioning Talmud Chacham, that you find that a vav al bigdo, he just has a stain on his clothing, very, it's considered a very severe thing, right? That Talmud Chacham has to dress properly, kvad Torah. And every yid is a ben melech, and it's not a question that people should look good. Just now we're learning the parsha of the bigdei kehinah. We see that there's definitely a inyan of kovid sefuras when it comes to kahanim, in doing the avodah b'samigdash. Right? You don't use the same clothes, Chazal tell us, to do dirty work as to serve a master, and that's why they had to have special clothing. So of course, not everyone's going to dress up like the Kohen Gadol, maybe we'll keep that for Purim, for a costume, but the idea that there's emphasis put on how somebody looks, Muna Mechabdisa, the Gemara calls it, your clothing, they give you respect, and that's why Talmud Chacham has to dress like a Talmud Chacham, etc. So it's not a question that everyone is allowed to take this seriously and not disregard the topic of I don't care how I look, and I don't care how I please, especially if somebody's married, and especially if their wife cares about it. This is I think it's important. When people start getting into the silly arguments of why do you care, right? I don't think that makes any sense. In general, any in yuna hanefesh, anything that has to do with people's feelings or thoughts is not always explainable, right? Many times people go into the childish debate of you don't have to care, it doesn't reflect on you. Nobody's looking. It doesn't matter. When somebody cares about something, they care about something. When somebody likes the way a certain thing is or looks or whatever it is, it's just how they feel. That's what nefesh is. Hashem gave each person a nefesh that thinks and feels a certain way, and it's not always explainable. So to go into any kind of argument would definitely be ridiculous. But it goes both ways. Just like a husband shouldn't wonder why his wife cares, because if she cares, she cares. It doesn't matter why, and it doesn't have to have an explanation. I think it's also important for wives to understand that husbands may care less, and you can't make them care more. He might be able to ask him nicely to take you into consideration. But just the idea of stop arguing with each other, if you do, I have no reason to assume that this couple argues with each other, but people argue with each other and try to convince each other that they're right about how much I should care or you should care about something or how little you care and why it's wrong or how little you should care. It's all ridiculous. The fact that many women care differently about looks is probably a given, most often, not always. The fact that different people's natures and personalities brings them to care differently about these kind of things, and everything else, not just looks, is also just a given. Just accept it. Somebody was just repeating to me an argument, a conversation, whatever you want to call these things, where somebody younger than him, a younger Chavis, he was learning with somebody, and the person asked him, why do you do things a certain way? Why? He said, listen, I'm older than you, you're 25, and I'm 45, so maybe by 45 you'll see it differently. And the guy said something like, no, you'll see, when I'll be 45 I'll still do it this way. And the response was that, I don't know how you'll do things when you're 45. But if you're still doing them the way you're doing them, it might be because when you're going to be 45, you won't be where I am when I'm 45. You won't have either my wife or my children or my personality or my experience or my situation, my circumstance. You'll never be 45 at my 45. And that's why you might be doing things differently than too. And I think it's just so important to understand. And we find in the Mishnah, and the well-known idea of Ilam Koimai Al Tagir, you'll never get there. You're never going to get to someone else's place. Because he's always dealing with a different set of tools and circumstance and whatever it is. And it's just so important for people to just understand each other better. Forget about accepting. Understand each other. if it's getting on your nerves, why does your husband not care, or why does your wife care? It's coming from a lack of understanding how different you're wired and why it's fine for everybody to think the way they think and feel the way they feel and automatically behave the way they behave unless somebody's asking them to do things differently. I do want to mention, though, that aside from being a mensch and dressing like a mensch for yourself and for Hashem, and being a mensch and dressing like a mensch for your wife, who's a ladder here, like I just said, it's important for people to realize, I think I mentioned this in the past, that very often children complain about how parents look. Now, I know sometimes it just gets OCD and controlling, and you have children that are very conscious and coming from some kind of social anxiety that don't want to walk near their father or be near their parents or whatever because they're ashamed how they look. And very often it's just obsessive and unreasonable and not good to give in to. Sometimes, however, it is. I remember talking to a boy who told me how embarrassed he was that his father comes to Chayder to talk to the Malamed with a blue shirt. Now, I understand the father is either a plumber or an electrician or something, and it's a wonderful thing. Nothing wrong with wearing a blue shirt at all. If it's true, I don't know if it's true, but if it's true what this boy is saying, that no father comes to Chayder with a blue shirt, and he's the only one whose father comes this way, and it makes all the boys smirk, then yeah, there's something about being sensitive to how a child feels. Not to say, well, grow up, it doesn't really matter, you'll get older, you'll overcome this. There's a certain sensitivity. Now, everyone has it in their own way, and it's always important to take it into account the details of who's asking for what. But yeah, if a mother is coming to school in a snood, and all the other girls' mothers would never come without a shaitel, you know, it's just something to take into consideration. The fact that you don't care about something doesn't mean someone else doesn't. And especially with children who are very sensitive and impressionable, and you know, you don't know what it could do, so this is important. At the same time, right, that's, I always like giving the flip side. Looks and externals are what they are, and sometimes it's all they are. And the big picture, it's somewhat trivial, and sometimes it's important to just know how to accept that Baruch Hashem, there's so much good in my life, and so much good in my husband, and so much good in my wife. And if I'm just going to get stuck on what I'm seeing, which maybe for whatever reason is not changing, and ignoring all the other good, that's also a problem. So a wife is allowed to care how her husband looks, and it's more than normal that she should. And she's allowed to try to get him to do things about it, which I'll talk about in a moment. It's just still important to remember, before just addressing a topic, it's always important to just classify it. We're talking about how someone looks, okay? There's more to it. There are people that look very good, and they behave very not good. There are people that look very good, and there's a lot of other qualities that they're missing that are probably more important. It's just important to classify it and realize what it is that we're dealing with. Are we dealing with the big issue, the small issue, the whole thing, a part of a thing? It's just very important to call it what it is and realize, okay, so this is what it is. We're dealing with how someone looks. Yes, it's important, it could get on my nerves, but that's all it is. Now, you mentioned the idea, and very often I get questions about the idea, of mine, yours, and ours, right? How somebody dresses and looks is theirs, not mine. When I want you to look a certain way, I'm basically telling you what to do. Is that okay? Is it not okay? Is it allowed to bother me? It's not allowed to bother me. So, I try so often to clarify these points, and I don't mind talking about it again. The idea of boundaries that I talk about in relationships, mine, yours, and ours, it just gives a certain perspective. It puts things in a certain light of understanding what is it that we're talking about. Right? When two people are in a relationship, it's so important to remember what does this issue, what does it mean? Who does it belong to? If we're going to say everything is mine because I'm affected by it, so wherever you go, it reflects on me, and whatever you're doing, it gets on my nerves, so now it's again me, and however you decide to make your own decisions, well, I have my feelings about that, so again it's me, that's ridiculous. And that's sometimes the way people manipulate certain topics and try to control them because, what do you mean? But look what you're doing to me. And I have guys telling me all the time, how am I allowed to decide this thing about myself if my wife won't be happy about it? In other words, they get to a point where they feel like they don't have the right to make a decision if the wife won't be happy. And I say, are you happy about it? They don't even think that way. You know, if you're not going to be happy about something, or she won't be happy, now it's wonderful to try to make someone else happy. But it's important to realize who's doing what to make who happy. If you're running your life in a way that somebody else wants, so that person is happy, and you're not happy, instead of doing things the way you want, and you being happy, and someone else maybe not being so happy, it's always just something to think about. But it doesn't mean that nobody's allowed to care about what someone else is doing. It doesn't mean that you're not allowed to ask someone to do something for you just because it belongs to them. You're allowed to ask someone to take you seriously and care about doing things in a way that makes you happy, I think it's fine. It's fine to ask. The main issue that I keep on trying to emphasize is the issue of control. If I tell you you have to do things the way I want, because that's what I want, and I don't let you do anything else, and I come with the argument that if you do it your way, I'm going to be unhappy, so how can you do that to me? You must not love me, or you're not allowed to do that. Right? That's the problem. But if I ask you nicely to please be considerate and do something a certain way because it makes me happy, I think it's fine. I think it's fine. And I don't know why people are afraid to do that, unless they don't know how to do it, and they don't know how to communicate it, and that's why it causes problems. But I think it's fine. I think any woman who wants her husband to dress a certain way, or do a certain thing, or polish her shoes, whatever it is, I think she's allowed to ask. If she's screaming at him, or threatening, or being mean to him because he didn't do it, that's where it's definitely important to realize, 1 second, this is his shoes, and he's wearing them, and I said you want him to wear them the way you want, but, you know, he's still got to make the decision. But ask nicely, I think that's fine. I think as long as it's clear that you're not controlling someone, and you're not manipulating them to do something the way you want, it's fine to want, it's fine to care, and it's fine to ask. And I think it's very important just to break it down and realize, yes, I'm asking you, nicely, to do something for me that you don't have to do my way. I think just for yourself, before you even verbalize it, just understand, it doesn't have to happen. I would like for you to do something my way, but it's you that's doing it, and you might also have a way that you like to do it. And that's where the boundary part comes. I'm not going to control, I'm not going to manipulate, I'm trying to get you to do something for me, and just understanding what it is that I'm trying to do, and what it is that I'm about to ask. Now there are things, without giving the exception, there are things that are intolerable. There are things you can't live with. Right? Everyone has the right to say, well, this one thing, I just can't live with. So it's your decision, but I can't live with it. There are such red lines, there are such boundaries of intolerables, where even if something belongs to the other person, or it's a shared issue, where somebody could say, listen, I just can't do this. Now, you might have to be ready to follow up on what it means to say I can't, and that I won't tolerate something, because there are things that are attack intolerable. So I don't want to get off on a tangent and start getting into examples. I'm saying when it comes to somebody, how they're dressing, okay, as long as you can live with it, and you really don't like it, it's just important to realize what you're trying to do. There are things that people do that you cannot live with, and that's where you have to know how to put your foot down and say, I can't live with this. Even though it belongs to you, you can decide how you want to do it, but based on how you decide what you're going to do, that's how I'm going to decide if I can really tolerate this anymore. But that's an issue of its own. I think in general, the more you acknowledge that what you're asking from somebody is to do something that they don't have to do for you, and that it doesn't belong to them how to decide, I think it's making it easier for both of you. It makes it easier for you to realize that the other person doesn't have to, so I won't take it as personal if it doesn't go my way. And it might just be easier for the other person to do something when they realize that you're asking them to do something for you, as opposed to controlling them or making them do something and having them feel very stifled and controlled. Now, when it comes to communication, of course, everything has to do with how you communicate it. You communicate soft and gentle and nice, and you say please, and you ask, and you clarify the fact that you're asking. You could definitely give all the bumpers of, you know, I understand that your way of doing it is not bad, and I love you anyway, and this is not something that has to happen my way, and if it doesn't happen, it will be fine. And I would so appreciate if you could do it the way I want. Normally, if you ask someone that way and you express it that way, very often it can happen. Very often it can happen. You'd be surprised. And another big trick when it comes to trying to get someone to do something and it's hard for them, or it's not natural for them, and they're doing it for you, is to be consistent and be persistent. It's very important. You have to know how to communicate in a way that you don't just get frustrated because you said something one time and it didn't happen, or you said something one time and that happened one time, as long as it's being done nicely and not making anyone angry and not coming from frustration. Because sometimes what happens is you ask someone, would you mind tucking in your shirt? Oh, sure, no problem, right? Wonderful guy. A day later, his shirt is out again. So, could you tuck in your shirt? Yeah, he tucks it in. But the third day, it's out again. And that's where people are getting frustrated. I told him so many times already, I want his shirt to be tucked in. Now, if you're not going to be persistent and you're not going to ask, he may not do it. He might not mind that you're asking him even. Well, sometimes there are things you have to ask people to do a few times till they do it. And they don't mind that you're asking them. You mind that you're asking a few times. See, here's where it gets a little confusing. If you're a neat, a well-dressed person that looks good, and you're married to someone who doesn't care so much, you might have to ask a few times either until they do it or to keep on having them do it. If you're going to get frustrated by the fact that you didn't change them yet, I think that might be your issue. So it's fine to communicate in a nice way, but I would appreciate if you do this. And it's fine to say it again and again to make sure it keeps on happening. Just recently I was talking to somebody who was by me a while back, and things were a bit dysfunctional at home. And Baruch Hashem, he learned how to communicate and better the situation and the relationship, and things changed. But slowly, they changed back. And after quite a lot of time, he comes back to me and says, you know, he doesn't like the way things are going at home. I said, whoa, what happened? I thought things were better. He said, they were. But then slowly, I started, you know, letting go, and I wasn't going to keep on making things happen the way that they should happen at home, and they started falling back. So now, there's laundry piled to the sky on the table, so there's no way to eat, but it doesn't matter because there's nothing to eat, because nobody's cooking anything anyway, and the whole house is just dysfunctional. I said, when was the last time you asked your wife if she could please prepare a supper and cook something for the family? Like, well, I should keep on asking that? Well, if you want to keep on asking it. Now, obviously, there's much more to the story and much more to any kind of such issue. I don't have to think that that's the point, to just keep on asking someone to do something in order for them to do it. But sometimes you have to be persistent and keep it up because the person's not changing. And they'll gladly take you seriously if you're persistent in a nice way. So sometimes that's just something to be okay with. It's okay to have to ask someone to take you seriously and to watch them do it and be appreciative that they did it. And then to keep on asking because they're doing this for you at the end of the day. And they care less. Now, of course, you have to be reasonable. Anytime you ask someone to do something. If you're married to, for lack of a better word, if you're married to a slob who doesn't care how he dresses, and none of this means anything to him, and you want him to all of a sudden look like your father, let's call it, who's very well-dressed and doesn't have a crease in his shirt, it's probably never going to happen. Everything's about being reasonable. The same thing with a woman. You know, any husband who wants his wife to look a certain way, and it's a far cry from anything she's capable of, you might just be being unreasonable. So it's just something to think about. But if you're being reasonable with your requests, and somebody's trying to make you happy, even if they didn't get there all the way, like I always say, you definitely have to compliment and congratulate any amount of progress in a good way. Not like a mommy talks to a boy, yeah, you're almost there, you know, almost. But unfortunately, many people, if it's not the way they want, they express it very negatively. Oh, okay, so this is what you did for me? This is it? Look at that. You know, and that's, of course, wrong. So this is definitely an important idea to know how to say thank you when something is a little better. And then you can still ask again for it to be done the way you want without pointing out how wrong or how not good it was done till now. And I think like a lot of things, at the end of the day, acceptance is often the key when it comes to things that we're different about. Right? I accept the fact that you're different than me. Just start with that. I accept the fact that you're different than me. I accept the fact that things that are important to me might not be done the way I want them to be. I accept that what's important to me might not be as important to you. And the other way around as well. Acceptance is such a big part of relationships. Now, some people think they're accepting when they keep on talking about how much they're sacrificing. You should just know how hard it is for me to accept the fact that you do this and this and I don't say anything about it. That's not called acceptance. That's called being a martyr and talking about your sacrifice all day and just making someone else feel bad that they're not pleasing you. Acceptance means that you do figure out the things that you could make better and how to do it, and you make them better. And you accept the things you can't change. And you're okay with it. And you accept the person. And you look at everything else there is. So I think it's important to just understand both parts of this. I'm not just addressing the questioner, right? I'm addressing different people out there. It's important for men to understand that, yes, you want to dress like a mensch. Not just because of other people. Just for yourself. But if not for yourself, then yeah. Tzai begin ishtichu. Begin baneichu. You want to look good because it will mean something to your wife and children. Then yeah, sometimes that's important. It might be, for some men, and some people, in general, the only thing you're actually doing for your wife, when you think about it, I don't mean to say that there are people that aren't doing anything for their wife, it would be sad and wrong for any wife to make it sound like that. Like, he doesn't do anything for me. Everyone has to appreciate whatever is being done for them. But at the end of the day, very many things that we do, we're doing either because we also want it done, or I'll do this for you, you'll do this for me. There's a certain give and take. There are some times where you just have the opportunity, I'll do this just for my wife. I'll tuck in my shirt, and I'll close my jacket, or I'll make sure I look normal, and I'll fix this thing just because my wife will care, not because she didn't even give me big compliments because she won't even notice that there was a stain that I took out. But sometimes you do something for someone else, it's just, there's something about it. Rabbi Gamliel used to talk about doing a favor for someone without them even knowing it. You wake up in the morning, just put your wife's slippers near her bed. She won't even realize that you put it there. She'll think she put it there herself, or just turning it around so that's easier to put on. There's something about doing something for someone else, especially someone you care for, and you love, and you want to be close to. And then for the women, of course, yeah, you're definitely allowed to care, and you're allowed to express yourself and ask nicely. And you're also allowed to remember all the good things that your husband does have and does do. And sometimes it's sad when people focus on the one thing that there isn't. And they miss out, they actually miss out on all the things that there are. In general, in life, you know, being grateful for what we do have so often just takes care of a lot of the angst and pain and grief of what we don't have. So often people are just running after their tail, looking for the next thing, and the next thing, and the next thing that's going to make them happy, and they don't stop and focus on what they have. In a relationship, you see it all the time. The one thing that I don't have, it just gets on my nerves, and that's how we're wired. It's normal to notice the thing that we don't have more than the things we do have. But if the thing that you don't have is a slim, put-together, well-dressed husband, you might have a lot of other things that are definitely worth thinking about and focusing on and complimenting about and feeling good about. Very often, having the right focus and putting your mind on the right things will already make it a lot easier to accept the things that you don't necessarily have. So I'll just recap that, yes, the emphasis that usually you hear about looking good is for the women, and there's a reason for it, and women should take that seriously. On the other hand, men should definitely look like men as well, whether it's for themselves or for their family. When it comes to anything about boundaries, it just means you shouldn't control people or make them do things the way you want, but you're allowed to care, and you're allowed to express yourself, and if you do so gently, and if you do so persistently, and it helps, and you keep on doing it, I think it's fine, and you make someone feel good for taking you seriously. And sometimes you do have to revert to some kind of acceptance and just being grateful for what you do have. And, you know, I'm yourself, like we started off with, the way things are said, if the atu tetzave is the way it's done properly, very often that's what will be the v'yikre lechu, that will be the results. And with the right attitude and the right communication and the right focus, we'll be able to live together.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.